today because we've gathered here in Jesus' name to glorify you. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray that those that are listening to the sound of my voice will have open ears and an open heart to receive your word this evening, thus having their lives changed because of the living word of God. Father, thank you for your anointing and upon me to minister this word, because I understand all too well that without you I can do nothing. Without you I have nothing. Therefore, I cannot brag about anything, but I must praise for everything that comes from you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want you, praise God. My wife ministered to you last Wednesday night, and it was excellent. Praise God. If you didn't get to hear it, go back on YouTube or Facebook or wherever and watch last Wednesday night's service. But I began this series 2 weeks ago, and I want to share some other things with you concerning the power of knowing. That's the subject that I'm using, the power of knowing. Amen. Now, in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children." Now, I could take that subject and go a number of different directions with it. That's a powerful verse there in Hosea chapter 4. But we understand that if we are going to be successful, if we are going to be victorious, then there are some things that we need to know. There are things that we need to learn. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And there are things that we need to put to work in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm going to begin. I may review some of the other week's teaching, but I want to begin here tonight on some very, very basic things. How many of you know the basic things are very, very important?
Amen.
Amen. We have any military men or women in here that were veterans? I know we do. Yeah, several, including yours truly, yeah, over here. One of the things that the military does, and every branch does this, is that when you enlist into the service, what they don't do is the first day you show up, they hand you a uniform and a gun and ship you off somewhere to fight. They don't do that. What they do is send you to basic. Listen, folks, if we are going to stay alive, If we're going to be victorious in our walk with the Lord, we must have the basics. Hallelujah. Now, I was in the Air Force, and basic training was tough for me. It was tough for a lot of folks. But Air Force basic training is not as tough as Marine basic training. They teach you to be tough. They teach you to obey orders. When you come out of basic training, you are a changed person. And I'm going to tell you about me. When I came out of basic, I was a changed young man, but I was changed for the better. Amen. They taught me a lot. They taught me respect for authority. Taught me to have respect for those that were over me. And I could go on and on and on. Am I right? Amen. You didn't go into the service and just do anything you want to. Decide to sleep late one morning. You only make that mistake once. But the reason that they send you through basic training so that you can stay alive when you're out on the battlefield. Amen. They taught me how to shoot an M16. Thank God I never had to use it because of the particular job I had. But I had to do target practice, and I had to learn how to use the M16. I don't even know, do they even use the M16 anymore? I was in service in the early 70s, so that's been a long time ago, but they trained us on the M16. And so I had to learn to use that thing, although I never had to use it. A guy told me, I asked him, where's my M16? He said, they got one assigned to you, but I never saw it. They gave me a toolbox, wrenches, meters, all that stuff. And that was part of my job. But my point is, before I got any of that stuff, I had to learn the basics. Amen. Hey, guess what? The same applies to the Word of God. There are folks trying to go and do things for God, and they haven't learned the basics yet. They want to skip a grade or two. Well, one of the things that is very important to every believer is simply this. You must know who Jesus is. Amen. You can talk about a person but not really know who he is. Amen. You can repeat what somebody else said but not really know that person for yourself. And that's a problem for some folks, really knowing who Jesus is. You must know, listen, this is something you must know. You must know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. As You can't get any further. You got to go through that door. You've got to know that he is your Lord and that he is your Savior, and you've got to stand on that and refuse to move off of it. Yes, we get saved by faith. Isn't that right? We're saved by faith. We receive Jesus into our hearts by faith. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, the 8th chapter of Romans. Is anyone in here, after you got saved, you gave your heart to the Lord, and you was very sincere? You gave your heart to Jesus, but afterwards, doubt tried to creep in. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. Doubt? Yeah. Yeah. Doubt tried to creep in. I think most folks deal with that. But we got to get to the place where we know that we are born again. Now, you have Romans chapter 8. All righty. Hallelujah. All right, I'm just trying to decide where I want to pick this up at. I'll just pick it up in verse 14, all right? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God," or you can say daughters of God. Verse 15. "For you did not receive the Spirit of bondage again to fear." Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When we got saved, we didn't receive the spirit of bondage. "But you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father," or "Father, Father." Now, take a look at verse 16. The Spirit, notice there that the word Spirit there has a capital S. What does that tell us? Anybody know? That's referring to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. "For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit." Notice that our spirit, a little s. Amen. "So the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God." Oh, hallelujah. Now let's take another look at the spirit at this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know what? When you give your life to Christ Jesus, when you receive him by faith, yes, doubt will try to creep in. People themselves may question your relationship with God. But we know that when we are born again, the Spirit of God comes in to our spirit, and he lives on the inside of us. Amen? Glory to God. But we see here in verse 16 that the Spirit of God, who dwells on the inside of us will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, or daughters of God, or children of God. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you have an inner witness. You have a witness on the inside. Glory to God. When I've in my younger Christian life, when doubt and unbelief would try to come in and torment my life and just make me miserable and try to cause me to doubt God and doubt whether I was even saved or not, because I've been pastoring a long time, and you get a chance to minister to and sit down and talk to a lot of people, and one of the, I think, biggest problems that I've seen is, especially with the new Christians, they say, Pastor, I don't really know if I'm saved or not. I know I love God, and I gave my life to Him. In other words, it's almost like they are seeking after God, but they're feeling like God is rejecting them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Especially if you mess up. Especially if you mess up. And you go back to God and you confess your sins to God. But then the devil step in, try to tell you God didn't really hear you. God didn't approve of what you did, and he's not listening to you. And now let me say this. I think part of my problem as a young believer, part of the problem I had was listening to the wrong people. I had a battle in my before I got married and a while after I got married, because I had listened to the wrong people. I was in the service, and I'd go to different churches because I loved God and I wanted to draw closer to Him, and I'd go to different churches. There was one church I went to, it was a church Bible study is what it was, and I went to that church, and this individual was teaching that if you did not cry, if you didn't cry when you got saved, you weren't really saved. I didn't cry when I got saved. Anybody else like me? Now, don't get me wrong. Some people shed tears when they get saved, and that is absolutely fine. Glory to God. Some people are so joyful and so appreciative. But God makes us all different emotionally, don't He? Amen. Some people are criers and some are not. But God created us that way. And so she was teaching everybody that if you didn't have godly sorrow, if you didn't have tears flowing out of your eyes, then you didn't really get saved. And I'm sitting up in here thinking to myself, what? Now, I know I'm saved. But then again, she was beginning to mess with my head. Y'all still here? She was beginning to get into my head, not my heart, my head. And so I wrestled with that thing a while. But this is error. That's error. That's wrong teaching. The Bible says we're saved by faith, not by tears. Amen? We're saved by faith. Now, if tears happen to come along with it, that's good and fine. There's not a thing wrong with that. But we're saved by our faith. But here's what helped me out so much, because this teaching that this person was doing was messing with my head, but on the inside of me, I had the witness that I was born again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit on the inside of me was bearing witness with my spirit that I was a child of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Praise God. And it took me a little while, but I got my head straight. But on the inside of me, I knew I was born again. It was just some things that I couldn't figure out in my head. So the Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness. Let me stop a minute, because I want you to get this. Some of you watching the live stream, I want you to get this. The Spirit himself, notice Spirit is capital, himself is capital. It's talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Our has the small O, O-U-R. Spirit, small S. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Big G. Hallelujah. Because he's on the inside of me now. Hallelujah. And I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. How many of y'all know you're saved? You know you're saved. Glory to God. I received him by faith, but he came in to my life. And now he's bearing witness with my spirit that I belong to him. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that good? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Sometimes your head will try to mess you up, won't it? Now, let me read one more verse. I'm going to read 16 again, then I'm going into 17. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And listen, are you ready for this? And if children, say that's me. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. That's the reason. Not only is Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior, but he's also our elder brother. Because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let that sink in. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. God is his father. God is my father. Jesus on the earth had the Holy Ghost. I also have the Holy Ghost. I'm in God's family. You hear me? I'm in God's family. If you're born again, you are in God's family. Praise God. That's the reason we're called children of God. That's the reason we cry out, Abba, Father, Father, Father. Oh, Daddy, Father. I'm not ashamed to be called his son. Are y'all getting hold of this? I'm not ashamed to be called his son. Well, who do you think you are? You are not worthy. Matter of fact, I've been knowing you all these years, and I know you did this and you did that, and you did the other, and yes, all that was put on the cross. It was buried with Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is there another amen somewhere out here? See, that's what Jesus did for us. Glory to God. When he made us brand new. That's the reason the Bible says that we are new creatures. King James Version says we're new creatures. But what it's actually saying is we are a new creation. Yeah, we're in the same earth body, but we are new creations. We are born again. In Christ Jesus, we have become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. But to enjoy that privilege, you must be born again. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you something. God doesn't want his people walking around every day wondering if they're saved. Lord, I hope I am. Lord, I hope I am. Now, I've asked a lot of questions over the years, especially as a young Christian. I've talked to a lot of people, and I one of the things I tried to do as a young Christian is learn from older Christians. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not. But don't get me wrong, we need to always respect older Christians. Amen. But I've asked questions. Simple questions like, hey, deacon, hey, sister. And I talk to people sometimes with certain positions in church. Do you know you're going to heaven? That's a fair question, isn't it? Do you know you're going to heaven? And sometime I would get this response, Lord, I hope so. Lord, I hope so. Lord, I want to. Folks, let me tell you something. That's tormenting. Y'all agree with me on that? That's tormenting. Knowing what we know the Bible tells us about heaven and what the Bible tells us about hell, and you're not sure when you leave here which way you're going, that's torment. That's tormenting. And you can hear it in people's voice. Oh, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. I sure hope so. I sure want to. But sometimes they were the best prayers in the church. Best singers in the church. But the bottom line is they didn't know where they were going when they leave here. And some would say, well, may the works I've done speak for me. Well, once you're gone, it can speak for your character. But it's not going to get you to heaven. They can stand over your casket and say, oh, he was a good man. She was a good woman. They did this and they did this and they helped here and they helped there. And all that's good, but if you are not born again, you're not going to heaven. So we need to be to the place, the body of Christ need to be to a place where they know that they know that they know when you leave this earth, you know where you're going. Hallelujah. That takes all the weight off of you. Takes all the weight off of you. Hallelujah. So you need to know that. And I can see right now I'm not going to get very far tonight, but that's okay. Amen. So you number one, you need to know who Jesus is. And you need to know that he is your Savior. You need to know that you're born again. Because the Holy Spirit on the inside of your spirit will bear witness to you that you are a child of God. You have that knowing on the inside. Here's something else we need to know. Everybody say no. There's some things we need to know. It makes life easier. Easier when we know this. And I know for some of you, I'm preaching to the choir. You know, you know these things already, but believe it or not, not everybody know them. You need to know that Jesus Christ is your healer. Now, as long as you wonder about it, your faith will not work. If you don't think Jesus wants to heal you, then you can't have faith for healing. Matthew chapter 8, flip over there right quick, please. Matthew chapter 8. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. And I'll begin reading at verse 14. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. Now, some of you have heard me teach this before, and I've taught it a number of times. I like to point out things sometimes as I go. So let me read verse 14, or verse 15. I'll start there. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. What did she do? She arose and served them. And I want to say to each and every one of you and everyone that's listening to me on the live stream, when God heals you, he heals you to serve. Amen. He heals you to serve him. Amen. He don't heal you to go out and get drunk. He don't heal you to go out and party. He heals you to serve him. Hallelujah. So when Peter's mother-in-law was healed, she got up and she served them. Now, I want to throw that in there. Hallelujah. Verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all. Everybody say all. And healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You see that? Now, I don't know what version of the Bible you may be reading out of, but we'll just look on the screen. Everybody look at the screen for a moment. And I want you to make this very personal. I want you to say it out loud and make it very, very personal. I'm going to say it first, and then we'll say it again together. He himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Or we could say it this way. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So why don't you say this with me? I'm going to count to three, and just the last half of this verse, and where it says he, just say Jesus, okay? So one, two, three. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say it again. On three. One, two, three. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Lift your hands and thank him for it. Hallelujah. Well, you may say, I don't feel too well. He took your infirmities and he bore your sicknesses. Thank him for it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. That should build your faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to one more scripture reference for tonight. And again, this is one you hear all the time. How many of you know sometimes you can hear something and not hear it? Jesus talked to the folks, some of the folks that he were teaching and ministering to, and he would tell them things like this: you have become dull of hearing. Listen, folks, we don't want to become dull of hearing. Well, Pastor, I've heard that before. You've been you preached that 1,000 times, but you hadn't heard it yet. Hallelujah. See, these are things that we got to know, folks. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know where I'm going. Most of you do. And this is talking about Jesus here, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Talking about Jesus, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Guys upstairs, give me verse 23 in the New Living Translation, please. I think that's where I want to go. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Now, I want to read that one again. It's talking about Jesus. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. We can learn a ton of lessons from that verse. But I want you to, I'm going to show you something. You can go back to the New King James Version now. But now, here's the thing. Jesus didn't retaliate. He didn't fight back. He didn't call 10,000 angels to come wipe them out. He left it in the hands of his Father. Because, listen to this, had Jesus retaliated, he would have to borrow an attitude from the devil. Stay with me on this. And he knew our eternity was at stake. Did y'all grab that? Our eternal life was at stake. Jesus left that in the hands of his Father. Now let's look at verse 22. And I'm getting ready to close here. I'm going to read verse 23 and then go right on in to verse 24. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, nor commit himself to him, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who? Himself. Bore our what? Sins in his own body on the tree. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Jesus did not jeopardize our eternal life. He stuck with it. And it goes on to say, by whose stripe you were what? Oh, glory to God. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. by whose stripes you were healed. Let me tell you something. Your body may feel terrible. You may feel awful. It does not change what the Word of God says. He still took your infirmities and he bore your sicknesses. By his stripes, you were healed. That hasn't changed and it will not change. But you gotta know it. You got to get it settled in your heart. Your body might want to act up, but you got to know that you know that you know by his stripes. I've already been healed. Your body may yell out at you and say, no, you weren't. Shut up, you liar. By his stripes, I were healed. Shut up, you liar. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Give God glory, will you? Give him praise. Oh, Father, we bless you. Father, we bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah.